All right, welcome to Snakes, Rats, and Goats. First ever episode. I'm your co-host.
Anything.
I know. Anything ever. I'm your co-host, Ryan Elder.
I'm your co-host. Well, I could say I'm your super host, Scott Chernoff.
Yeah, there you
we'll go. Co-host. And this is a podcast about Survivor, which we are totally obsessed with.
Oh, wait, I thought it was about zoos.
It could be about zoos because of the title, you mean.
Yes. Okay, no, it's about Survivor. The TV show, not the band.
Wait, what? I was a huge, actually, true story fan of the band Survivor. So it's something in my DNA.
I guess, yeah.
And anybody who watches Survivor knows what snakes, rats, and goats means. And anybody who doesn't watch Survivor, I seriously question why you would bother listening to this podcast.
So this season, Survivor 30, we've got blue collar, white collar, no collar. And let's just talk about what that means. And
what does it mean, Ryan?
I don't know. As a no collar person myself,
would consider yourself a no collar.
I do, yeah. I mean, I do run my own business, but it's so out in the ether whether I'm working or not that
right.
I would say no collar. But you know, that's the problem I think with this whole blue collar, white collar, no collar thing is half of these people could be in multiple tribes.
Yeah, it's kind of an arbitrary distinction, yeah. Like with brains, brawn, and beauty. There are some people who could have been on any tribe.
Right, and that's a byproduct of the fact that they cast the show first, and then they figured out what the tribes were.
Right, it's not like Cook Islands, where there's really no getting out of your tribe.
Right.
There's no wiggle room in Cook Islands.
Exactly.
Or exactly. Even in Panama.
Right, but One World.
Right, or One World, or Amazon. Okay, so we've established that, but they're very arbitrary tribes. Like in Cagayan, you know, I could have seen, for instance, LJ on any of the tribes. He's just an Adonis, Ryan.
Yeah. He truly was.
But you know, I find these delineations, you know, interesting. The blue collar, etc. But ultimately, it's going to be meaningless. Are we agreed on that?
Yeah. I mean, after what, 3 episodes, they're going to be in 2 tribes by then?
Probably.
I mean, what's the over-under?
4 episodes. Yeah. I don't know how many it was on All Stars or the other seasons. Philippines. I loved Philippines. I love the 3 tribe format. I mean, I don't know if it should be every time, but I think most of the seasons with 3 tribes have been really interesting.
It's great. It's great. You get to know people so much better and quicker, I think, especially if they lose a lot of immunity challenges, which we'll get to this, I think is going to be the problem for one of these tribes. I'll tell you which one I think it is when we get to them.
Can't wait to hear your assessment on that. But I mean, like in Cagayan, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? Like, I mean, again, it didn't really matter it barely mattered at first, you know, but some of the brains could have been, you know, ended up being the challenge threats, and some of the brawn were not at all challenge threats. And at the end, I don't think anybody was looking at it and saying, brawn won.
Right. Definitely
brawn
not.
Brawn had the top 2 spots. You know?
Yeah. If anything, I think brains won the season just in terms of the editing. Most of the memorable characters were brains, the Jatias, the Spencers, the Casses,
yes.
You know.
But also, the most memorable character to me of all is Tony, and I would say he won using his brain. It wasn't a brawn victory
for sure,
despite his presence on the brawn tribe.
For sure. I mean, I'm as big a Tony fan as you'll find, for sure. I mean, I think he's the perfect blend of character and strategist. But
yes,
this isn't about season 28. It's about season 30.
I haven't seen season 30.
Neither have I, but we're about to talk about it anyways.
Yes, we are.
Before we do that, before we get into each contestant, survivor, Right. Let's just talk about what we want to do with this podcast since this is our first episode.
This is our first episode, and you can tell by how slickly professional it is. Well, I mean, when we first started talking about this, it was because we had both discovered that we were both Survivor nerds. Yep. And both of us, I think, are really focused on strategy, and that's our am I portraying
absolutely,
that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm a gamer through and through, so that is the part of Survivor that interests me the most.
You know, I love the characters as well. Like you said, Tony was an awesome character, and I love that. You know, but what I really loved about Tony was watching him play the game, yeah. The strategy. You know, there are characters I've loved over the seasons. You know, I know he's not as popular as he used to be, but in Pearl Islands, I was totally on board the Rupert train and rooting for him sentimentally.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
As a player, as a strategist, I've never thought he was, you know, much to speak of. And those are really my true favorites over time are the
sure.
ones, hardcore strategists, the sure. hardcore players.
And do you make any distinction between the people who are aggressive strategists and the people who are under the radar in terms of whether you like one or the other better?
No.
Yeah.
I do. I am not one of these people who thinks that an under the radar strategy is less than.
Right. I personally think it's more than. I
yes.
prefer the under the radar players.
Really?
I think if I was going to play, that's exactly how I would try to play. Why draw attention to yourself strategically? There's nothing to be gained from it except for potential jury votes, which is something.
Well, that's the thing. And that was like, I used to be more in your camp where, you know, I felt like the under the radar people who were floating, not floating through, that's considered a negative in reality
right, yeah.
world. But the people who are playing so well that you don't see them playing, I
right.
love that. And I love
yep.
to watch that. But I think we've seen it backfire enough where I'm not 100% convinced it's always the best strategy. You know,
right.
we saw Token Chains with Stephen Fishback. That he got zero votes. And we watching
right.
the show could see that he was this sort of strategic mastermind, but nobody out there seemed to know it.
That's a good point. I mean, you do run the risk of getting second place because you haven't demonstrated that you're a strategist.
So there's a balance, but I think it really varies from season to season.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best players will work with whatever they've got.
Sure.
But, you know, I think Sandra is one of the best ever. And, you know, a lot of people disagree because she's not out there winning challenges and, you know, making
oh,
big
man.
Game moves. But
I think winning challenges is the most overrated thing about reality shows like Survivor. I personally would not try to win a single challenge unless, of course, I knew for sure I was going home.
Right. If you really need it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only, I mean, I would purposefully want to lose. I want to look like not a threat.
I'm most impressed by the people who can win the game without having to win challenges or having
oh, yeah.
to have a hidden immunity idol.
I agree.
And some of the people who've won with a hidden immunity idol didn't have to have it. And that was also impressive. And nobody even knew they had it. And I love that.
Love it. Love it. All right. I want to talk about a little bit about, sort of the format, the normal format of this podcast. And this first episode is a cast assessment. So it's going to be a lot different than our sort of every weekly post-show recap. One of the things we want to do is you and I have a lot of friends in comedy, in the comedy world. And we kind of wanted to like have one person who's never seen the show before, but is a funny person or an interesting person, come on for a little portion of each episode and talk about the episode that they watched the previous night. And we think maybe some, who knows, crazy, weird, funny things will come out of that. It'd be interesting to get their take in any case.
We'll see how that goes.
Who knows? We may bail on that after
a week to do that.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. I think we know enough people where we can get someone. And I think we're going to have some special guests that I think you might recognize. So
you might.
You might.
But also some of them, like one of them that I'm thinking of, I know used to watch the show.
Right. Yeah.
So they're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But they might not be watching anymore.
Right. Occasionally they'll know a lot about the show or maybe they'll know nothing. So we'll see how that goes. But in any case, do you want to get into the cast discussion?
Well, should we? We were going to talk about who we were and why anybody should bother listening to our opinions.
We should mention that.
Which I'm not entirely sure why anybody should bother. You know, just to put it out there as a disclaimer, because I'm putting myself in the shoes of the skeptical listener, in that I sometimes go, well, why am I listening to this idiot's opinion?
Yeah.
You know, I think we both are huge fans of Rob Cesternino as in terms of the way he played the game in Survivor Amazon. And also, you know, he's, as everybody knows, he's the king of the podcasters and he does a great Survivor podcast. And one of the reasons that I enjoy listening to his podcast is I think he has a lot of insight. In addition to his winning personality, he's got a lot of insight from having played the game twice. And that is insight that you and I, quite frankly, lack. So I just want to be upfront and say, we know that. We're just two super fans who love Survivor and hopefully are fun and funny to listen to.
Right.
Because we think about this show more than really any person should.
Oh, God. Yeah. At the detriment to other areas of my life, I'll say.
Yes. It's incredible the amount of space the show takes up in my brain.
Right, right. Just in terms of my background, why I think that I would even want to do a podcast. In my real life, I'm a composer. I write music for Adult Swim's Rick and Morty, but I am involved in the comedy world, and I'm a big-time gamer. I played on the Magic the Gathering professional tour once.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is intense.
I like strategy games of all shapes and sizes, especially ones that involve lying. I'm the biggest werewolf mafia fan you'll ever meet. And I love playing with noobs. I hate playing with people who know what they're doing, which probably means I'm terrible at it.
But, so you're like Boston Rob in Redemption Island.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just give me a whole bunch of noobs. So
that's amazing. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
I have never played any of those games.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I think it's too late for me. I've missed the boat. I'm an armchair strategy watcher. So who am I? My name's Scott. I'm a writer and an actor in the world of comedy. I used to write for Conan, the talk show, and I've written for a show that's on Netflix right now called BoJack Horseman, which is a really funny animated show. Thank you. And I have done a lot of random acting stuff and comedy stuff. Speaking of the great Rick and Morty on Adult Swim, I've done voices on that. And a lot of random TV appearances. If you really care, you can Google it. Google me.
IMDb.
Just really just have a ball there on IMDb.
Yeah, just
Tim and Eric, I've worked with them. Blah, blah, blah. I have some credentials.
Some.
But none. Well, you can sing my praises. But no credentials in the world of Survivor. I'm going to talk just briefly about my love for Survivor, and I want to hear how you started watching Survivor, because I think were you watching from the beginning or no?
I watched the Borneo finale and then
okay.
the next like four seasons.
Okay.
And then I took a big, big break and only watched a season here or there throughout, but only kind of got back into it in the last year where I watched 20 or so seasons I missed.
In the last year you
basically
watched
yeah. In last summer I watched probably 13 seasons in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. It was
like a dream of mine. I would love to go be able to watch them all again. And
the best summer of my life. No, I'm exaggerating.
Well, I mean, I started on the first episode. I've watched Survivor on a weekly basis. I've never had that great binge watch experience. I remember back in 2000 when it premiered. It's funny because I don't think I ever would have watched Survivor if I hadn't have been homesick that night.
That's crazy.
It was on Wednesdays, the first season, and I had a standing thing. I was in an improv group So was our future potential guest, Steve Agee, who is probably going to appear soon.
Teaser.
We were in this improv company together and we rehearsed every Wednesday night. And I was homesick with the flu and I was laying in bed. This was pre-DVR. So I was just a pawn of whatever channels I could surf. And of course, I'd heard of Survivor because I'm a TV fan and it was definitely an intriguing concept, but I wouldn't have watched it. I happened to just go through the channels and hit upon CBS probably a minute or two into it. And oh, check this out. And I liked it, but I didn't get hooked immediately. It was, I think, the next week I went to my rehearsal as planned. And then it started to sort of nag at me, like, oh, I wonder what happened on Survivor. I should have taped that. I should have set the VCR for that. And of course, yeah, that started to get a lot of news coverage. So I thought, you know, I would hear about it. Oh, I wish I would have seen that. So I started to record it. And, you know, I'd still go to my Wednesday thing and then come home and watch it. And every, like America at that time, every week I got more and more into it. And I was just totally hooked. I became so obsessed. I didn't really watch any reality TV before that. I barely watch any other reality
TV. There wasn't really. I mean, there was the real world. Yeah.
You know, and Big Brother started that year, and I tried to watch it, but it was really awful its first season.
Well, it wasn't even a contest the first season. Right. Yeah.
It's still really awful, but in a better way.
At least there's strategy involved.
Yes. Now I watch it because of the strategy and vote. Anything where people vote each other off, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in. If it's based on talent or it's based on, like, you know, the mercurial whims of one madman, like on The Apprentice, you know, I can't get as into it. But if it's the people and the strategy and the social dynamics, I love it. And since that first season, I have never missed an episode, and I have just been obsessed, and I have watched. I mean, when they, I think it was in a recent season when Jeff Probst said, you know, this is our 200th episode or something. And I just went, like, my God, I've wasted my life.
No, man.
I've watched no 200 such thing. Hours of Survivor, and often I've rewatched it during the week, you know.
Cool. Cool.
So that's who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to season 30. Everybody says whoever knows says it's going to be an awesome season. And we know that it's not always hyped that way. Yeah. Season 29 was not hyped that way.
Right.
And it was not one of the best seasons. Although I personally thought it got really good toward the end. But it's hard for Survivor to not get really good toward the end.
That's true. Post-merge. It's rare when a post-merge is not good, and that's usually only because of a pagonging. But
right.
Anyways, let's get into this cast, season 30.
Let's get into it. And one more self-indulgent thing about the getting into the cast. I just want to say, like, this is a new experience for me because I've never evaluated the cast before the season begins.
Okay.
I hate spoilers, but I don't consider this a spoiler. I just never cared.
Right.
I don't, until I see them on the beach, I don't care who they are. Yep. And sometimes I've gone back and looked at their cast videos or interviews from preseason after I know who they are. And I find it interesting then, but often they don't perform it all the way they've.
Absolutely.
The way you would think they would.
These pre-cast interviews, the videos they make, I mean, they are so rarely an accurate picture of who that person's going to be when they're on the island. I mean, Spencer is a great example. He has admitted on Reddit and elsewhere that he was playing up his arrogance as part of a character. But when he started playing, he was totally different. And that's why Jeff Probst had that famous Spencer has zero chance of winning the game in his cast assessment.
Right.
So, you know, we'll talk.
Well, he did not win.
He didn't. But I think he had a slightly better than 0% chance of winning.
That's true. He was wrong about the percentage of chance.
I think if we simulate Kageyan 100 times, Spencer wins some percentage of those times. I think Tony wins one time out of 100. But
really? Only once, you think?
He played the craziest game ever, and so much had to go right for him to win. But We don't need
well,
to.
Well, I would like to watch all those simulations.
Me too. Me too.
I think Tony might win more than once.
One and a half times, we'll say. all right.
What about Cass? Would she have won?
Zero. Zero. Okay. I mean, she could change her game, I guess, if she plays a different way. But if she plays the same way, she never, ever wins.
It's over.
Yeah.
Okay, over. Okay. So, like you said, it's not about season 28. It's about the future. And can you believe it's season number 30?
I can't, I guess. When I tell people who aren't familiar with the show that they're on season 30, they're like, what? Wait, it started in the 80s?
Well, you have to sort of then say, well, they do two a year.
Yeah. The obligatory, still, they do two a year. Even still, 15 years is a long time. So speaking of season 30, let's talk about these
tribes.
Crazy... I mean, there's a lot of crazies in this season, in my opinion. I think we're going to get a lot of great characters, but
it looks like very promising based on this cast.
It does. A lot of super fans, a lot of people who've seen every episode. There's one super fan that, I mean, is like, I can't even believe how much of a fan this guy is. So
now, if these people bomb out, what does that say?
What does that say about being a fan of the show? I mean, fans of the show traditionally have not done that well.
Other than like what? Rob C. and Cochran?
I mean,
on his second try?
Yeah, Cochran did terribly his first try.
On his first try, yeah.
Spencer was a fan. He made top four, right? I mean, that's pretty good. That's Rob pretty made cool. top four. Sometimes they do okay, but I can't think of a giant fan that has won their season the first time out.
And then most of the people who are on the show and called fans on the fans versus favorite seasons do not seem like big fans.
No. They fudge that description in my opinion. But
and some of the best players have never really watched the show, so I don't know what to make of any of this.
Yeah, true. Earl, for example.
Are you really mad at me because I've spent half the podcast undermining everything we're talking about?
No. This is good.
Okay,
but let's talk about the blue collar tribe.
Yes, you have and to keep us on track. I think that's what we're learning.
The first person I want to talk about is Mike Holloway. I'm going to say some people's last names and some people's not. I'm not going to say their last name because I don't know how to pronounce them.
Oh, okay.
But Mike is easy, Holloway. He is a oil driller from North Richland Hills, Texas, which God only knows where that is. But it's in Texas. And this guy is legit blue collar. There's no doubt about it. This guy is about as blue collar as it gets. My take on Mike.
Yeah. What is your take on this?
My take on Mike is, at least in his interview, I get a Russell-esque kind of vibe, Russell Hans-esque.
Mm. Also from the oil services.
Exactly. And maybe that's why, from the South in the oil world. But he also says he wants to be aggressively, he wants to play a really aggressive game. He talks real big. Mm-hmm. He says he's not like that in his real life, but he wants to be like that on the show. So who knows? He could end up being nothing, but I get the sense he's going to play pretty aggressively.
On the CBS site, he cites Rob, who I assume he means Mariano, and Ozzy as among the ones that he thinks he's going to be most like, and Cochran.
Right. Right. This
interesting.
Yeah. So this is a guy I don't think has seen every season.
Right. Because he's naming some big ones.
I get the sense that they mentioned that they made them watch a few seasons, and the ones that they probably watch were Karamoan, Redemption Island, Rob's big win. And then possibly, I don't know which Ozzy season, but I'm guessing the one with Coach, because I think someone mentions Coach.
Yeah, probably South Pacific, because it's the most recent.
Right.
And if he's, and I doubt they have them watch Cook Islands and Micronesia.
Probably not. They're so old at this point.
Well, one thing this guy has going for him is he's 38.
Yeah, that. I mean, I think on his tribe, that actually is good. If you look at the other people on the blue collar tribe, there's actually a few young people. There's a fair amount of young people, but there's also an older guy who we'll get to. I don't know. I think that he might be able to stand out on his tribe. And I think the blue collar tribe is very set up to run the table in the immunity challenges initially.
So
they're certainly capable of getting top two every week until we get two tribes.
You think it's going to play out the way, I mean, like in Cagayan, I hate to keep referring to that, but there are so many corollaries because of the three tribes.
Yep.
And it was like it played out exactly as any person off the street could have predicted. Yeah. The early goings, that the Brains tribe just got decimated in every challenge. Do you think that's going to happen with like is the blue collar the equivalent of the brawn tribe?
I think so. Yeah. The blue collar does have a weak link and we'll get to him.
Okay.
Hint, it's a him. But I don't think that that person will hold them back enough to keep them out of the top two.
Personally, and one of the reasons... Oh, go ahead.
I think the Brains tribe is going to have some troubles early on.
By Brains, do you mean white collar?
White collar. Exactly.
Is that white collar?
I think the white collar tribe is going to have some issues. I think for personality reasons as well as just being good physically. They have more weak links physically, in my opinion. I could be wrong. They might run the table. I don't know. But that's my thought.
You could be wrong. Okay.
I could be wrong, yeah.
Well, one of the reasons I also say that being 38 is a plus is that I know there are certainly no hard and fast rules. There's definitely your fair share of younger people who have won the game. But I think in general, people who are in their 30s and 40s have the life experience that really benefits them in this game. And a lot of the younger people are more easily led, more easily fooled, more easily swayed, or more apt to operate off of their emotions.
Yep.
And the people who are a little bit older are able to put their emotions aside better.
Yep. I mean, I like this guy. I like Mike a lot. I think he's going to go far. I think he's going to make the merge easily because of the tribe he's on and because he's going to be one of the stronger people on his tribe. And those people tend to make the merge.
So you're saying Mike Holloway makes the merge?
I think he makes the merge. I'm not sure how he's going to do after that. It depends on the relationships he builds pre-merge. Obviously, there's a lot of factors. But I think this guy's a player. He's funny. So we'll see what happens with him.
As long as he's not a jackass, he probably makes the merge.
Right. What I mean, even if he is a jackass, he could still make the merge because his tribe may never have to vote.
Right. That's true.
And... he also might make the merge as a jackass because, you know, it's kind of a strategy to take a jackass to the end. But, what do you think? Merge or no merge?
I'll go with merge.
All right. And do you think
I'm new to this predicting, Ryan. He's the first one. So I'm reserving the right to go back later and say, I've had too many people make the merge. So Mike Holloway's out. But right now, I'll say he makes the merge.
So do we think that Mike is a snake, a rat, or a goat?
Ooh. I think he'd like to be a snake.
I think he'd like to be a snake. I think he's going to be a rat, though.
And you're defining that, I mean the traditional Suhawk.
Yeah. So in my mind, we should cover this because I want to do this with everyone.
And it is the name of our podcast.
Exactly. A snake is... a strategic player who gets to the end through various means, but they're a strategic player. A rat is a strategic player that maybe isn't as good and gets to they maybe overplay or they make moves that alienate others.
Right.
And a goat is a person who's like has no social awareness. They make it to the end because they get carried there. They're usually dumb or mean or both.
And who would you say is the classic goat?
The classic goat for me is Russell Hance.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's played. But don't you think you know he's what? Also he's a rat. Snake? He's a rat. He's not.
Isn't
a snake.
Isn't he all of them? I mean,
I got to say he's a rat. The classic goat is probably Cass. She made bad moves.
Yeah.
She made bad moves. Nobody liked her.
At least she was trying strategically. Like to me, when I think of a goat, I think of, I mean, definitely Cass, because you know, I guess the biggest definition of a goat is somebody that you know can never win.
Right.
And so you want to sit next to them.
Right.
But I also think of people like, I mean, I'm going way back here, but like Jan from Thailand, older lady who just could
Or Lil.
Literally Brian Heidick just carried her to toward the end. He didn't sit next to her, but it, just because he knew she'd do whatever he wanted and she was happy to do it and happy to go out whenever he deemed fit. And she didn't have any game awareness.
Right. Right. And, you know, a lot of rats are also goats, let's be honest. I think Dreams is a good example of a rat.
Yes.
You know, he ran around, flip sides. Cochrane in South Pacific would have been a good rat. Rats are often goats as well. But a true goat is someone like Lil, no game awareness, taken to the end, easily beaten.
Poor Lil.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that Mike, as with all rats, wants to be a snake, but it's probably going to be a rat. What's your thought?
That sounds about right.
All right. So
from the little I've seen, and I feel like after the first episode, we're going to have a much better idea about all these people. Yeah.
So Mike's a
rat.
Nice.
All right. Next.
Soundboard. That's the inaugural sound.
Yeah. There it is. So next let's talk about super fan Dan Foley from the Blue Collar Tribe. Escameca is what they're called. We'll see how
Escameca.
I don't know if that's pronounced right. I gave that a shot. I'm not going to give all the last names.
I know so much useless Survivor trivia in my head, but it's some of these tribe names I never remember.
I remember like the really memorable ones that.
Yeah. And I remember the early ones and the,
Right. Okay, so Dan Foley is in the Blue Collar Tribe. He's a postal worker, although he's a lot of things, according to him. He owns property, things like that. But Dan, his real thing that sets him apart is he's probably the biggest fan to ever be on the show in the sense that he has applied to be on the show, I think, thousands of times, certainly hundreds.
Going to be thousands.
He said one time he sent in, like, 20 applications in one application period, probably not thousands. Yeah.
That's one way to I mean, there's certainly like there's the guy who taught the class on Survivor, but we'll get to him. But so he is one of these people who's applied a billion. And I tend to wonder about these people who have, there have been people before who have applied repeatedly and they finally make it on. And when I say repeatedly, I don't mean two or three times. I mean multiple times.
Yeah. I mean, he claims to have driven 20,000 miles to go to auditions. Which
I feel like usually there's a reason that they hadn't made it.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I think it's obvious to me why he hasn't made it from just his interviews and stuff. I don't think he's going to be that interesting. There's probably a lot of Dan Foley fans out there that are really excited about him. Not me. I think this guy is, I think this guy is Chicken George. If I can make a Big Brother reference.
Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's a fun-loving, happy-go-lucky guy.
A Chicken George vibe, or even a Steve Chicken Morris of China.
yep. It's vibe. He's a mix between Chicken and Chicken George.
Should we be calling him Chicken Dan?
Maybe. We'll call him Chicken Dan.
And for those who haven't seen Big Brother, God bless you, first of all. Chicken George was kind of like a lovable doofus. An older guy who just wanted to play the game and have fun and be everybody's friend and was definitely a goat in that he was just sort of he would never get voted out because he was no threat whatsoever.
He couldn't win immunity. The only thing is with a person like this, they're a goat only in the sense that you want to take them to the final four because you can beat them, but you kind of got to get rid of them there because they're usually likable. They might end up pulling a Bob Crowley, for example.
Yes, you don't want to risk the fact that they're the most likable person.
Exactly. I think people are probably going to get along with Dan Foley if he doesn't quit because he needs to be medevaced, which I can totally see with this guy.
He could be like a Papa Smurf from Fiji kind of situation.
I get that kind of vibe from him. We'll see. He's such a big fan. I hope that he doesn't have to quit. I know he won't quit by choice.
Well, and when they ask who are you most like on the site, he names three people, one of whom is Tony for his cunning. Okay, I can good live with that. The others are Stephanie, whom I love, and Rupert, whom I love, but neither of them I would consider to be the smartest gamers.
All right.
I mean, Stephanie did make it to the end in Guatemala, and she played a fairly strategic game, but in general, she's more known for her heart and her drive to compete than her mastery of the social game.
If this guy's cunning and scheming in any way, I'll be shocked. He seems way too nice and fun-loving to be stabbing people in the back.
He looks like a hugger.
Yeah. Oh, he says he'll be the bottom of the cuddle puddle.
Where the hell did he say that?
Not in this interview I'm looking at right now. I think it was on a
that
video.
Is frightening.
It's kind of weird, right? I believe it was in the Gordon Holmes interview. Which
wow.
Is, yeah. So
Gordon Holmes does great interviews. And
he's great.
Could elicit,
shout out to Gordon Holmes.
Elicit a quote like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this guy is a goat with a capital G.
Yep. I think he's a goat. Definitely. I think he'll... He could make it far, but I doubt it. And I think he's probably going to go pre-merge.
I wish that it was Llama instead of Goat, and we could use Tony for the soundboard.
Well,
but
you know,
go with the real Goat.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly put the Llama. We could call another thing a Llama. There is
we'll
one. There is a mysterious fourth category that I think we need to. Add.
What is that category?
And I think that is a number. Dan might just be a number. He might not be a goat, but he might be a number.
Just a number.
Just someone who you can count on to give their vote for your alliance, and that's it.
Right.
Not strategic, not disliked, but just there.
And who would you from the show, if to put you on the spot, consider?
That's a good question.
I'm going to look at the last season and say somebody like
Bob Crowley. Bob Crowley.
Bob Crowley, you think was a number? I was going to say like Wes or
Wes
know, Alec.
Wes
they were numbers.
Number. Yep.
Bob Crowley, interesting.
I think people would argue that Keith was a number, although he could have won. So numbers can win, though. I think they can win
if they're lovable.
Yep. Yep. But I don't have a sound clip for a number, so maybe I'll get one for that. Or we can come up. We can call them llamas. I don't think that's a good name for them, though.
No. No.
All right. So that's Dan Foley. Let's talk about, oh man, this guy's going to be great. Great TV. Rodney. Boston Rod.
Oh, yes. Boston Rodney.
Yep. This guy's on the Blue Collar Tribe. He is, man, this guy's quite a character.
I did read his Gordon Holmes interview.
He's going to be a character for sure. He seems aggressively stupid to me. Sorry if you're listening. And just not the kind of guy I would ever want to associate with in real life, but I love to watch on shows like this. To me, he's like a Rocky from Fiji.
Yes.
I think he's going to be really entertaining. We'll see.
He seems very confident in himself.
Yep.
And which is really fun to watch because you know there's always a downfall.
Oh, yeah. Like a Drew from last season.
Yes, there's a Drew moment coming for this guy, for sure.
I think so, too. I can't wait to see this guy play. Even if it's just for two episodes, I think he's going to burn bright.
I mean, it's always a joy to watch the people who think they're an alpha and really try to take charge early on and just do not understand how bad that is for them.
Yeah, it's great. I don't think that Boston Rod is a fan of the show. I don't think he knows the show
very
well.
No, who does he cite in his...
I mean, he gives the classic never seen the show answer. I'm like no one. Nobody's going to play this game like me.
I'm like myself.
Yeah, so I think this guy's going to be kind of a joke strategically, but he's going to be entertaining and definitely the kind of player I like.
Oh, and he's 24, which means, you know, again, like the Drew situation, he doesn't really know what he's in for.
Yeah,
but
totally.
He seems in his interviews to be very confident that he's going to come in and everybody's going to love him. And so snake, rat, or goat for this guy?
That's what I think.
All right.
I think he's a goat through and through, man. I would want to take this guy to the end like nothing. He's going to piss people off. He's going to annoy people. He's going to come at them too aggressively. If you could take him to the end, I think you got to try.
All right.
If you can get in tight with a guy like this and get to the merge, he can win immunity and potentially protect you. I think he's someone you want to take to the end, but has no chance of winning.
Interesting strategy. Yes. I do not see this guy winning.
No way. No way. If he wins, it will be amazing. There are people who want to see people like this win. I don't, because I like good strategy. I don't think he's going to be strategic. He could prove me wrong, but...
Who wants to see that guy win?
There are people who just like the characters, and they want to see the characters win. They don't care about the strategy. They just want to see the person that they like the most win.
Well, who's going to like him the most? Let's be honest.
People who like good TV.
Okay. All right. Sure.
All right.
Okay, who else is blue collar here?
Blue collar.
The women?
Next up, Sierra Dawn Thomas. She is a barrel racer.
A surprising number of Sierras on this
show. I know, spelled all sorts of ways.
Yes. She's what, a barrel racer?
She is a barrel racer.
This is like one of those occupations that she has another job, but they... Yep. She also does barrel racing, and they
This is her job, believe it or not.
Really?
And I had to do some reading up on this. First, I assumed it was like the Northwoods running on a barrel in the water, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Balancing. It's not that. It's a horse thing, a cowgirl thing. You jump your horse over barrels. Don't quote me on this. Any of you barrel racers out there, I apologize ahead of time. But she travels all over the country. She's on the road a lot, and she competes in these barrel racing championships. She's a national champion barrel racer.
Okay.
And she does rodeos, so she's probably driving from small town to small town a lot. She says she eats a lot of truck stop food.
Okay, well, this is okay. So she's striking me as somebody who's going to be competitive.
Yep.
Who's going to be able to handle the discomfort.
I agree.
And she may not be... She's one of these people who, when they ask her who you're most like, she says Parvati, which just means, you know, again, she probably hasn't seen much of the show.
Yep.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I could see her making the merge.
I think she's definitely going to make the merge. I think she's going to be the strongest woman on her tribe. I don't know about her social game. She seems fine from her interviews and stuff, but Sierra is, for me, one of my top four or five potential winners of this season.
Really? And she strikes me as a number, but I don't know.
Okay. So. I'll tell you this. She's like 7 million feet tall. If you look at some of the photos of the sort of press photos they've been releasing, she towers over everyone. I think she's in real life maybe 6'1", 6'2".
She's 6'1", it says on the site.
Yeah.
And she's 27 years old.
Yeah.
Which is a good age.
Yeah, it's not too young, not too old.
Not too young, not too old.
She's seen the world. So I think she could do really well. And I think she's on a tribe that can make it afar and stay
intact. Well, it just depends on what her social and strategic, you know, level is at.
Yeah.
As whether she's going to be a great player or just a number like a Jeffra who makes it far into the game.
Unlike Jeffra, I think of the women in her tribe, she's going to be by far the most physically fit. So if there happens...
What are you saying about Jeffra?
I mean, was Jeffra known for being physically fit? I don't know.
She's known for having a last name that matches her personality.
There you go.
Jeffra Bland. It's right up there with Parvati Shallow. I'm not saying Parvati is shallow, but...
But
I love that name.
So that's Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Okay, so you like her. And
I like
her. You're seeing her as... But you see her as a snake?
See, this is tough. I guess I would see her as a snake, yeah. I think she...
Are we prisoners of our own classification?
We are already? At this point, yeah. We're locked in. But I'm going to call her a...
Snake.
But... At this point, she might just be a number, too. I like her. I think she can win if she can learn the game quickly. She's going to have to learn quickly.
I just want to point out that you did say she might be a number two, and I don't think that's appropriate for a family broadcast.
No, she's definitely not that. definitely not that. Yeah, what do you think?
This is a tough one. I guess my vibe is number, but again, it's really hard, you know, without having seen even one episode. She doesn't strike me as very rat-like or goat-like, so by default, she's either a number or a snake, and it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think it depends on how quickly she can learn the game.
Right.
You know, if she's like an Earl and she's like a survivor prodigy and gets it right away, figures it all out early, I think she can make it pretty far. We'll see.
Well, I'm always rooting for a woman because I feel like there need to be more female winners. It's a little uneven.
Is it? I thought it was pretty close. I got to crunch the numbers.
The men have been ahead for a while.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the under the radar woman yes. player. So, and I think a lot of hardcore Survivor fans are. So we'll see. Next up is Lindsay Cascaden. However you want to pronounce that. She's blue collar as well. She's from College Park, Florida, and her occupation is a hairdresser. She's also a mom, 24 years old.
Okay.
Dye color hair.
Okay.
Very similar to a previous Lindsay.
I'm going to say every Lindsay who's been on the show.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't go the way of the last Lindsay, who was also a hairdresser and had crazy hair.
Yes, and took herself out of the game so she wouldn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, so let's hope this Lindsay is a little different. I think she will be based on her personality and her interviews. She seems kind of fun and maybe a little quirky.
Mm-hmm.
But lucky for her, she's on the, in my opinion, the blue-collar tribe. I think on a tribe that loses immunity challenges early, she could be an early boot because she's probably not... She might be a weak link physically and probably mentally for sure. I don't know.
How dare you?
I know.
Well, she does scream number to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, like Sierra from Blood versus Water was a young single mother and hairdresser, I believe, who ended up, you know.
She was a snake for sure.
Really coming into her own and doing great. So you never know.
We'll see. We'll see. She does say she relates to Sierra from Blood versus Water, which is a season I think they had to watch. I don't think that this person is a fan. I could be wrong. So we'll see if she can learn how to play strategically. She wants to make big moves, but they all say that because the producers want you to make big moves. So I think when they do these pre-game interviews, there's a lot of like, posturing. It's like they're still auditioning, kind of. They feel like they need to say the right things, and then they play so differently, I think, from what they say. So we'll see.
Big moves. Jeff Probst wants big moves.
Yeah, always big moves or go home. Because
big moves probably do make a more entertaining show, but I don't think that they're necessarily. So I see why the producers want them, but they're not always the key to winning.
No, I think Tony and the last two winners, in my opinion, made big moves.
Yes.
And I think in some cases they made too many big moves. They still won. So I can't say,
I don't know if you can, how can
too
you say
much
that?
Wrong with that? But I think that there's like Tony especially made quote unquote big moves that he could have made small moves and possibly gotten a slightly better edge. Mm. You know, this is like he played perfectly, could have been more perfect.
The two winners before that, Tyson and Cochran, I can't think of big moves.
No, no. I mean, they both played
textbook. I guess
Cochran
getting rid
of
Andrea was a big-ish move, but
I think that those two played textbook winning games, especially for guys.
Yes, they made all the right moves at the right times.
As a result, those seasons were less interesting. I think some people who say those seasons were less interesting were colored by the fact that they probably got spoiled for those seasons early on, because both those seasons winners were spoiled pretty early.
Yeah.
But
well, you didn't need to read a spoiler to know that Tyson was going to win. Some seasons, I believe you can correctly predict the winner based on the first episode, if not the first few episodes, and yeah. that was one of them.
Yeah.
Tyson, it was just screaming Tyson the whole time.
Right. Yeah, he got the quote-unquote winner's edit. But all right, let's talk about Kelly Remington, also on the Blue Collar Tribe. She's the last Blue Collar.
I'm guessing because she's the last one, this is the one that you think is going to hold them back.
Nope. I think that's Dan. I should have said that.
Oh,
I think
Dan
Foley's going to hold him back. Physically, I don't think he's got what it takes. But if they like him, they might keep him around. So Kelly, she may hold him back, but I think she's a state trooper. I think she's probably pretty physically fit. So I think she'll be okay. She's 44. And one thing I notice is that she says she relates to everyone, but then only lists guys as examples. She says she connects with guys a lot. She's like one of those.
That could serve her well, though.
I agree. It could also lead to her becoming the only woman in an all guys alliance and then gone.
Right.
So we'll see. But I think that if she can work her way in with, the two power guys on the team, Mike and Rodney, she might be able to go far, but we'll see. And who knows? She might team up with the two girls on the tribe and take one of the guys. And, you know.
And she strikes me as somebody who could go far and do well.
I agree. I have her making the merge. And it doesn't hurt that she's a state trooper, as we've seen on both Big Brother and Survivor, that being a cop can really help your game.
Yes, if you're a really good cop.
Yep. So we'll see. I like her a lot. I don't know if she's in my top five potential winners from this season, but I could definitely see her winning.
I don't know what I'm not good at this predicting, man. I don't know what to classify her as. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I think she's a rat. I think that...
you say that so casually.
I know. Okay, well, that's because we've set up this world.
I think this human being is a rat.
Yeah. I think that she'll try to play strategically, but probably piss some people off.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on her interviews, she seems a little bit competitive and maybe a little aggressive, so...
Mm.
I don't know. I'm going to go with
rat.
But
okay. So she could be like a Trish from Cagayan or maybe a...
Yeah. That's a good example.
Or even a Don Meehan.
Yeah. I don't think she'll be as sweet. socially out of it as Don was. But who knows? Anyways.
All right. Let's move on to another tribe.
Yeah. All right. Let's do
blue collar brutes.
Let's do the white collar tribe. The tribe that I think is going to go early.
Oh.
But has all of my favorite players, the people I relate to the most.
But I mean, like, again, in Cagayan, the brains, okay, three of them went immediately. But the other three lasted till the end and were... You know, two of them were legitimate threats to win.
These are people. I think almost everyone in the white collar tribe is capable of winning the game, but I don't think that they're capable of winning challenges.
Can I just say Philippines?
Right.
I don't believe I pronounced it with the right emphasis, but the Philippines. You had four people who were just hideously bad, and then you had two people who made it to the end and were. Winner quality.
Yep. I think if any of these white collar players, except for one, can make it to the merge, they're a threat big time. A threat to win. But first, let's talk about Shirin Askui.
Yes.
Definitely got that wrong. Shireen,
She's
I believe.
She's very interesting. I read her interview.
Shireen is. She might be my favorite player, at least based on her interview. She seems so interesting and funny, and she's a big fan of Larry David and RuPaul, which that seals the deal for me. I think she's going to be entertaining, and I think she's going to be aggressive. I don't think she'll be under the radar, but she does love Sandra and Rob Sesternino.
Which are good people to love in terms of not just their personalities.
Agreed.
But their strategic approach to the game, which may be right for her.
I agree. She certainly says all the right things, but she could be a Cochrane-esque superfan who goes out and plays too aggressively. So
yeah, I'm kind of afraid she may end up in like the RC Saint-Amour category.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would be
terrible.
Of just
somebody who kind of talks a big game and is really brash and overplays her hand and position. But, you know, from the interview, I love that she is a super, super fan. She knows the game really well, and she really embraces the lying portion of the game.
Yeah, you know, every single person in their Gordon Holmes interview has said they would lie. So I don't think any of them are, like, above lying, which is great. And I think that may be the secret to why people think this season is so good that are in the know. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out.
I love a season with a ton of moves and counter moves and counter moves.
Yes, I love the moments. One of my favorite moments of all time is when Parvati gets the read on Amanda in Heroes Villains.
Yes, yes.
Because not only did it lead to an amazing tribal council, but it also was just like, such a good read.
Those are the moments when I start like sort of like tapping my hand aggressively on my wife's leg or something.
Yes, she totally
realizes again that she married a madman because I get so excited at the strategy.
Can you pause it? I want to talk about this moment.
Yes,
exactly. So will Shireen be that? We'll see. I think she probably wants to play like Sandra. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Is she a snake or a rat?
Oh, she's a snake. And
I'm hoping she's a snake.
Yeah, it might be wishful thinking, but I'm going to say she's a
snake.
Perfect. All right, Shireen, we're in your corner.
Yep.
We like the strategic players.
Yep, definitely. Which I think the White Collar Tribe has a few, so
Even Cass, who I really detested, I had some level of affection for because at least she was attempting strategy.
Right.
The people who attempt strategy, I tend to enjoy more than the people who just have no awareness of strategy.
I mean, I think Cass was playing for second place.
Not deliberately.
Here's what I think. She made a rash move flipping on her tribe.
Very rash.
Yeah, and then she, at that point, was forced to justify it by playing for second place. And I think she played hard for second place after that.
All right. Interesting theory. Hadn't thought about
it. I don't know. I mean, I think anyone who is so aggressively alienating is playing for second place.
But I got the read from her that she had no idea how she comes off.
Maybe she could
be alienated she truly is.
She might be that unaware. All right. Next up is Carolyn Rivera, 52, age 52, White Collar Tribe, Tampa, Florida. She's a corporate executive.
This woman does not look 52.
She doesn't. No, not at all. She's been married for 36 years. She says she's not going to flirt or use flirting at all.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to.
Nope.
Tina Wesson didn't.
I don't think it's required at all. She says she wants to play like Sandra because she's 2 for 2.
Sandra didn't flirt. Kim Spradlin didn't flirt.
She likes Denise. She's picking all the right.
Denise didn't flirt.
Yep. All the right under the radar players. But
those are all good players.
She's very East Coasty, and she says she's prone to going off on others, which is a big red flag for me.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
She's picked all the right contestants but
Sandra also went off on players.
That's true.
Sandra is like in her own magical category.
How'd she do it?
I have this theory on Sandra. I don't want to waste a lot of our time on, but I believe Sandra is like the closest to a Survivor savant. And that, like, she may try to do various things, but whether or not her plans come to fruition, she has an instinctual understanding of the game where she can't help but make it to the end. There's just something instinctual about the way she plays, and I love her.
Yeah.
And I love her strategy of anyone but me. I mean, I think that's a very underrated and very awesome strategy that was very effective for her. But
yeah.
I just feel like it's almost without, in a way, it's without trying with her, that she is just made for this game.
Yep. Yep. And I think for me, I'm always looking for the next Sandra. I don't think that Carolyn is the next Sandra, however. I think she's too outspoken. No offense to anyone who lives on the East Coast, but she's too East Coast for my tastes in terms of being just sort of confrontational. I think she might end up being confrontational. Can she keep it under wraps? If she can, she could go far. But I have her not making the merge. I think she could be an early boot from this tribe because I think this tribe is going to be having to boot people early. She's also older than everyone else on her tribe, and I don't know.
That's always dangerous.
Yeah, and I'm finding out that a few of the people on this tribe knew of each other before the game started.
Oh, really?
Well, because there is a sort of famous in the Survivor world guy.
Right, Max Dawson.
And another person who was supposed to be on season 29.
Right.
Came back for this season because her and her sister were supposed to be on season 29. We'll get to her.
Yes.
But in any case, I think that Carolyn could be the odd woman out in this tribe. We'll find out, though.
That sounds like a smart assessment. So is she a snake, a rat, a goat?
I think she's going to be a rat if she even makes it out of the numbers world.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But we'll say rat.
Rat.
All right.
Thank you, Sue.
Next up is So.
What was Sue? Was she a rat then by these definitions?
Oh, you know what? It's a good question.
It's all falling apart. Okay, let's go on to So.
So Kim, her and her sister were supposed to play The Last Blood versus Water. Her sister was medically evacuated before the season started. So came back for season 30. She was already there.
Yeah, it's very exciting because I remember hearing about this duo and everybody was saying, oh, they were going to be really good. I don't know how they knew.
I think So is going to be great TV for many reasons, but she's 31, which is, I think, an amazing age to win Survivor.
Good. Yes, good game. Good age
young enough to associate with the young people and not be alienated by them, but old enough to have the life experience to like get reads on people and play a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I really like So. I think she can go far. We'll find out, though.
And she's a big fan as well, correct?
She's a huge fan, yep. She says she is most like Ozzy, Parvati, and Cochran, which maybe she isn't a big fan. Now that I see these
usual suspects,
now that I see these choices, I'm wondering if maybe she isn't a big fan. Because those are people in the seasons that I think they had him watch, but I don't know.
She's from Long Beach, so she's the local to me. That's fun.
Yep.
The tribe is called Messiah.
Messiah.
The tribe of messiahs.
I wonder if that's how it's pronounced.
And it rhymes with Kasaya. Well, it's spelled like the Kasaya tribe from
right.
Panama.
Yep.
Well, she looks snake. She looks like she's got good snake.
She's a snake potential. For sure. I think if anyone in this cast can legitimately say that they're like Parvati, it's probably her.
Okay.
But nobody's really like Parvati.
There's only one. There can be only one.
Yep. But I definitely like her. I think she's going to play a strong game, and I don't think she'll go too early. She is one of the people who knew of Max Dawson ahead of time, so maybe she is a fan.
That would mean she's a fan, because even I barely knew who Max Dawson was, and right. I consider myself a super fan. But I don't really frequent a lot of the message boards and stuff to learn about the larger fan community.
I was unaware of Max Dawson only because I only recently started going on the internet to look for Survivor news. And I do avoid the sites that are sort of known for having spoilers.
Right. Me too.
So I try to protect myself from actual spoilers, not just like who's going to be on the cast.
Spoilers. Right. I don't consider that a spoiler, but if I find out how far they go, that that I don't want to know.
Okay, speaking of people who knew about Max, let's talk about Tyler Fredrickson.
Okay, let's talk about Tyler Fredrickson.
He's an ex-talent agent assistant. I think he worked for CA.
Okay.
When I first saw him, I got a really good vibe from him. I think he could be a great under-the-radar male, which are pretty rare.
Very rare.
But the more I learn about him, the less I like him. He seems a little
arrogant. I can't
think
of who the best under-the-radar male was. But tell me why you don't like him.
At first I thought he was kind of soft-spoken, and he gives off a humble body language to me. But in a lot of his interviews, he talks about how great it was to work with all this like A-list talent and how he kicked the game-winning field goal. He was an NFL kicker briefly, and he was on I don't remember which college team. It's funny, he doesn't say what college team he was on, but he says that he kicked the game-winning field goal against number 3 USC. Oh, he was on the Cal State Bears. That was a pretty exciting game, especially if you're a Cal fan.
I don't know anything about sports, so I cannot comment.
One thing is he's good under pressure, as kickers tend to be. But I get this vibe that he just thinks a little too highly of himself. So I don't know how that's going to translate to the game.
Well, from the photo alone, he looks a little smug. And I believe you can and should judge a book by its cover.
I think he's a little smug. I definitely get that. And he says he's most like Boston Rob.
And again, there can be only one. And let's not forget that Boston Rob, his first time playing, although he was great TV, he was not a likable person. He was not a person to root for. And he was not a person who played incredibly well.
Yeah. I think there's no way Tyler plays like Boston Rob. And I hope he plays under the radar like I think he probably would naturally do, but there might be this sort of sense that, you know, he wants to stand out in the crowd, so he might push himself to play more aggressively. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. But I keep saying we'll find out. I'm going to go through and cut all of those out.
but we will find out.
He might be my pick to win. I go back and forth on Tyler a lot because.
Oh, I am judging him merely on a photograph, and I don't see him as the winner.
You know, I think he's going to play a lot like Reed did last season, who I also liked pregame. I think he might overplay, and I think he could definitely be concerned with making good TV, which Reed was definitely that way. You just look at his speech at Final Tribal.
This guy to me looks like he might be gone before the merge.
He could be. If he is still in shape from playing football, he might just go far because they can't
get rid of that.
But he could be a pre-merge boot. It depends on how, because he knows who Max and So are, according to the internet. That's my source.
Yes.
Because he knows them, I could see him trying to team up with them. And there are a few people in their interviews with Gordon Holmes that have said he always asks, what do you think of the other people that are out here with you? They don't know them yet. They've not met them yet, but they just go on appearance. And a couple people have mentioned, I believe they've mentioned Tyler, blonde hair, curly blonde hair, as someone that they think they could work with.
Oh, okay.
So possible that it could be him. It might be Joe, though, who we'll get to later, who definitely has curly hair, but it's arguable whether it's blonde.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Tyler could end up teaming up with Shireen, Max, So, and they could be a pretty powerful alliance in this group.
Interesting. He looks to me like a wannabe snake who will be a rat.
I think he's going to be a rat. Yeah.
All right.
But
there you have it.
I want him to be a snake. All rats are wannabe snakes, in my opinion. Last but not least in this tribe, did we cover? We missed one person, two people. Oh, yeah. Not last but not least. Second to last but not least. This guy. Wow. Joaquin Suberbeal. Definitely got that
That's
wrong.
That's an amazing name.
He's 27, White Collar Tribe. He's from Valley Stream, New York. He's a marketing director. He's got the most unbelievable slicked back hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's Jersey Shore to me.
Yeah.
He says he's always the alpha male in any situation.
He's out.
Yeah, this guy is the biggest the biggest goat of all time. And I mean, might be the biggest goat in the whole tribe. I think he's got a total Drew Christie vibe to him. He's going to go out in flames. I'd love to see him and Boston Rod on the same tribe, but in some ways I'm happy they're not, because then we'll get at least one of them featured pretty heavily early on.
Right.
He's a character. He's going to play way too aggressively and take charge. He's going to be, like you said earlier, the guy who tries to take charge.
Yeah, that's my vibe. And again, this is a completely superficial vibe. But yeah, he looks like one of these guys who thinks he's hot stuff and who is going to be taught a very valuable lesson.
I think he's going to be on the outside looking in. I think there,
there's a breed of Survivor contestants who are used to always winning or getting friends or getting their way based largely on their appearance.
Yep.
Who haven't developed anything beyond that, because they haven't had to develop anything beyond that in terms of intelligence or savvy or humor. Mm-hmm. And they come onto Survivor and they don't ever see it coming. They think that life is this way, that everybody will love them and they just, and everybody will be rooting for them to win.
Yeah,
and
they're definitely in,
not
in
the way Survivor works.
Definitely in the bubble. And I think this guy's one of those guys. The only thing I think he's got going for him, which he could surprise us, is that he is a, like a salesman, right? Says he's a marketing director, but I think he's a salesman as well. As part of his job, he sells marketing. So that could be useful. I mean, I know that would be useful to convince people to do things that are against their best interest.
Sure.
Will his own personality get in the way of that? Probably.
Is he a good salesman? That's the question. Yeah.
So I think this guy is at best a rat and probably a...
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
One of Survivor's best ever winners was a salesman. I'm talking about Brian Heidek.
There you go. Yeah, he could be the next Brian Heidek, actually.
I doubt it, but we'll see on the first Brian Heidek first episode of Thailand. You could call him as the winner, so we'll see.
Yeah.
The first episode of Worlds Apart.
I don't think we want to call Joaquin winner on the first episode, but
all right, check back with me after the first episode.
Finally, last but not least, the infamous
we've talked about him a lot.
Survivor professor Max Dawson.
This is awesome. And I knew very little to nothing about this guy, but all I know is that he is a former college professor. He used to teach a course either about reality TV or about Survivor. And so just the idea that then he will actually play the game is really exciting. And it takes a lot of balls, because, you know, for a pundit sort of type person to get off the couch and, you know, and actually get in the game is really cool. So I'll give him props for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be living vicariously through this guy big time. I mean, I want to really like Max. We'll see.
Is he likable? I don't know enough about
him. I don't know. In his interviews, he comes off very reserved. So I honestly don't know what's going to happen with him. I hope he does well.
Most like Penner. Because we are both opinionated, outspoken, truth-telling Jews who make our livings with our words. Like him, I love Survivor and all that it stands for. Now, Penner is one of my favorite characters.
I think,
but
yeah, if
not
if,
a yeah. great player.
True. If Max is as entertaining as Penner, he's a winner in my book.
Yes, absolutely. Penner is, you know, one of the greats in terms of just entertainment value and his passion and love for the game.
Gave amazing confessionals.
Never made it past seventh place. I mean, the second time he played, okay, we don't know how he would have done if he hadn't gotten medevaced, but I think we know.
Yeah, yeah.
In Micronesia, I think we know he was not going to win.
I would agree with that. I don't think Penner, I mean, if Penner came back another time, he could maybe win, but
maybe.
He's not the kind of player that generally wins. Usually people who are and this is, this applies to Max as well, people who say they're students of the game and know a lot about the game. And though the, I mean, I would want to target a person like that right away.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I feel like if I was to ever play the game, which I never will, I would never let on how much I love the game and how much I know about it, yeah, and how I've seen every episode.
He, unfortunately, he's priced in because people know who he is already.
Right.
Even people on his tribe. And he said he's not going to lie about that. So, you know, that's unfortunate for him. He can't hide that. But yeah, like last season, Kelly let it be known that she'd seen every episode.
And somehow they counted that against her.
Well, that's not even somehow. I think it's a no-brainer. I would count it against you, absolutely. You'd be considered a threat, no question.
I guess. I mean, I wouldn't reveal it because I know that I would be considered a threat, but I don't know why that's more threatening than anybody else. I mean, I'm always of the school when I watch the show and they target, you know, like, you know, oh, that person won, or that person's played before, whatever. Like, yeah, I get it, but everybody's a threat. Every single
That's
person
true.
Is a threat.
That's
Everybody,
true.
Everybody, people who've never played the game before are a threat. You know, if the returning players or, you know, whoever, or the game experts are getting targeted, then the people who aren't getting targeted are the threats.
That's true. And you and I know that because we know the game. But
right.
Imagine you don't know anything about the game. Maybe you've seen skimmed through three seasons on your
right.
DVD player a month before you shipped out to Nicaragua. You're going to be looking for things that set other players apart as threats, and that is something that you can point to.
That's true. Okay,
so maybe they won't be a threat. Maybe he will be less of a threat this season because there's so many people that are familiar with the show, super fans. But if I was I don't know. I would also be threatened by other super fans for multiple reasons. One, they know how to win the game, at least. Whether mm-hmm. they're capable of it is another story. And two, I want to be the super fan that's last man standing, you know?
Right.
They're encroaching upon my sort of claim to fame on the show. So that's just the way I would go with it. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Max. I'm excited to see him play. He does seem underwhelming in his early interviews, but
really,
I hope he pulls it out. I mean, he's
certainly I haven't seen the early interviews, but I have high hopes for him. He's the kind, you know, I'm always loving and wanting to root for the players who are, you know, strategic and love the game.
So what do we think? Max is a
snake.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yep. That's what I'm hoping. But what is his beard?
That is a goat beard. I don't get the beard. To me, it seems like the beard would work against you because, and I'm being dead serious, because people make snap judgments based on
it. I think the beard helps you get cast. So you're priced
let's
in.
Shave it off.
You can't. I mean, that's why you got cast. Or it's
one
of the reasons.
Let's move on to these no
collars.
All right.
No
collars. Before the season starts.
The final collared group are the no collars. Well, they're not collared at all, are they?
Right.
First up, Vince Sly. Love this guy.
Oh, great name.
This guy is, to me, he's the second coming of Coach Wade.
Well, let's all hope. Let's all hold hands and hope.
This guy, I mean, he's even a life coach, for crying out loud.
He even says on the site that he has a little bit of Coach and Fabio in him.
Yep. I think, yeah, he's a kind of a cross between the two.
Definitely physically. He also says that he's flirty and will use his sex appeal like Parvati. And I do want to give him props because most people never mention someone of the opposite gender.
That's
when
true.
They say who they're going to play like.
Yeah. I think this guy could be great TV. He's going to be weird. Many of the other people have pointed him out as someone they noticed pregame because he wears these feathers in his hair.
Yes.
And I think they all think he's a character, so they might not take him seriously, which they shouldn't.
You know, he looks like a great character and not the kind of person that being underestimated will result in him winning.
Right. It just depends on how he comes across. If he is like Coach and sort of very out there and trying to make for good TV, he probably won't make it far. But if he if he's
well, coach made it far. His first time. I mean, place.
Yeah, you're right. He could make it
so
far.
Screw you, Ryan.
You're right. He could make it far. I like Vince a lot. I mean, I don't think he's going to win.
He seems like a goat to me.
Yeah, he does. He's a character for sure. He could just be a number, but
he's a Coach Phillip type character.
That's what I get the vibe from him, but he's pretty successful in his real life. He runs this business. He's traveled all over the world.
You know, yeah.
I think he possibly has what it takes. Yeah, exactly.
Has a lot of exploits that made him.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Phillip is a former federal agent and an
author.
So.
Fair point. Yeah, I definitely get a Phillip coach vibe from Vince Sly. He is the right age. Maybe we like the people in their 30s because we're in our 30s, but
I wish I was in my 30s. let's pass over that topic, right?
I'm barely in my 30s still. So,
I like the people in their 30s in terms of their chances to win.
Yeah. I think we're in agreement there. But Vince, I think, is going to make good TV. I hope so, at least.
All right. I'm saying goat.
Oh, yeah. Me too. All right. Up next, I think, I'll save this. Up next is Joe Anglim. He is no caller from Scottsdale, Arizona, and his occupation is a jewelry designer. He's very athletic, though, despite being a jewelry designer. Although there's nothing that says he can't be.
He's the other guy that maybe they were talking about with blonde curly hair or something.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'd call his hair blonde.
I don't know.
It's definitely curly.
What would you call it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Auburn? I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that he got some sun.
He compares himself to Malcolm and Ozzy.
Which, I mean, based on appearance, is a no-brainer.
Right. Based on appearance, sure. They're actually two very different players.
I agree.
So if he's comparing them, that might mean he doesn't have a great understanding of the game.
I mean,
they're both good physically. That might be their one crossover, Malcolm and Ozzy. Yeah. But, you know, Malcolm is a much savvier player than Ozzy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think he's got long hair. Long hair don't care. You know, he's got that vibe, that sort of laid back vibe, which both Ozzy and Malcolm have. But one actually played well and one didn't. So we'll see. I personally think Joe could play well.
I mean, I hate to always give the counterpoint, but although I'm the one who said Ozzy wasn't as good of a player as Malcolm, Ozzy did go further than Malcolm.
That's true.
He has a better record in that way.
Because Ozzy was capable of winning immunity a lot easier.
Mostly on immunity challenges.
So the thing about Joe is he also grew up a farm boy, and this is definitely, for me, this is not a stretch. Some people might say it's a stretch, but I get a definite JT vibe from this guy. He seems super kind, super nice. He says he's willing to lie, but he is like kind of an honest, genuine person to me. He seems really down to earth, and I think that he could be sort of magnetic. People will like him. Which for me is like the biggest, most important thing you need to win the game. You want to get to the end and have people want you to win. And JT is like such a good example of that. You had people like Brendan saying like, I would rather JT win than me.
Right. That was pure insanity.
Yeah. So is Joe the next JT or is Joe the next Ozzy? We'll find out.
Because he looks to me like my snap judgment based on never having seen him play is that he's a number.
Yeah,
but a lot of what we're saying is ifs. Yeah, if he is as likable and magnetic as JT, then that's a different story. Yeah.
If it's him and not Tyler, that several people, the curly-haired blonde guy, then I think he's got a real good chance because he's given off this vibe that people are like, I want to work
with
this
person. That's true. If between him and Tyler, I would guess that people are responding to him.
That's my guess,
too. See somebody they want to play with.
That's my guess, too. We'll see. I like Joe a lot. All right. Next up is Nina.
Nina Porsche.
Nina Porsche is 51. She's from Palmdale, California, and she's a hearing advocate because she is deaf. She acquired her deafness later in life, only 7 years ago. She wears a cochlear implant, which means that she can hear, but she has problems separating voices. So multiple.
So she can hear better. This isn't a Christie situation from Amazon where this woman can hear you.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to. She doesn't know how to read lips.
Right. Well, but Christy was at a severe disadvantage if she could not see her lips. Yeah. So at night she could not communicate. Right.
Christy made it pretty far though. So.
And I loved Christy.
Christy was great.
A big Christy fan.
Yeah. Yep. And I think Christy could have made it really far had she picked a side, for crying out loud. But this is not.
She wasn't the greatest. She wasn't a great player, but she was a great person and character, or a great personality. I don't know, but she was not very well liked. So I think she got a better edit than I loved her based on it.
All right. Well, this is not Survivor Amazon, so we're going to talk about Nina Porsche. She's a mom. Other than being deaf, she's a mom, which she's really good at manipulating.
Okay.
Which I don't know. When you have to say that, are you though? she says she can relate to Tina Wesson, which is a great role model for a 51-year-old woman.
Sure.
If she is another Tina Wesson, I'd be excited.
Tina Wesson in Australia.
I don't know if she's referring to Tina Wesson in Australia or in.
If she's referring to Blood versus Water, then she's in trouble, because Tina did not play well in Blood versus Water.
She didn't. She played the hand that she was dealt. I'll put it that way.
I felt she made a lot of unnecessary moves or unnecessary comments that.
Yeah,
there
is a lot of behind the scenes. I've read some stories about the way Tina played in Australia that were not in the edit, that she played similarly.
Interesting.
But her alliance was so ironclad.
Yeah.
And she sort of brainwashed Colby into this mother.
That was her genius. Yeah. It was a mother son thing. Yeah. And Colby was like obsessed with his mom. Yeah. That's where Tina really excelled. So if Nina can be like that.
Yeah.
And latch up onto somebody, then, that could be good for her.
Coincidentally, I think that if Missy had won last season, that's the story they would have told for her as well.
Yes, because of her and John.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she would have gotten really great at it.
So can Nina find her surrogate son? She's got a couple options in her tribe. I don't think it's Vince. It could be Joe. I could see Nina and Joe forming a tight alliance.
Sure. She strikes me as an early boot.
She does to me, too. I wrote no merge. I think she's also a
rat.
I think she's going to play maybe a little too hard.
Or she could be a number.
She could be a number. There's a fine line between a rat and a number.
It's a fine line between all of this.
Yeah, that's very true. The person that I don't think will be her surrogate son is our next up on our list, Will Sims II.
Yes, this guy's crazy.
This guy is crazy. he's interesting. He's occupation, YouTube sensation.
They list that as his occupation, but then he talks in his interviews about what his real job, which is, I believe, bartender or something.
So bartender is a good job to have to be on Survivor.
Yeah.
Probably good at connecting with people. I think people are going to like this guy, but I just don't know physically if he's all there. So it depends on how well if he can stay around a while, he might make it far. Says Survivor contestant he's most like is Earl, which I definitely can see, but if he doesn't learn the game as quickly as Earl, maybe not.
Although, well, at least that means that he's seen
other
seasons than the ones that they push on them.
Yeah, that's very true. We're sort of burying the lead. His YouTube sensation is he was in a Jay Leno bit where he was doing karaoke at a gas pump. And I'm going to go on the record and say that he was a ringer.
You think he was a ringer in that bit?
He was hired to be in that bit.
I haven't seen the bit, so I don't know. I guess all I had just heard was that he was someone who, you know, was caught on camera or something.
Yeah, there's also his wife, who is also in that bit with him, was just a few months earlier on the Leno show doing a similar thing.
Oh, okay.
Randomly Ringer. At that same gas pump.
Yes.
So well, I'm thinking...
Could be a Ringer. Ringer.
I'm thinking maybe the first time she wasn't, and then the second time she was like, you know what? I know someone.
Right.
My husband is a great singer too. So we'll see. And because of that, I kind of think he's also sort of a Ringer for Survivor in that he's maybe a Mactor in disguise.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. He's a bartender. He lives in Sherman Oaks. He probably wants to be on TV.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as a player.
Nope, I think he's going to be
likable. He strikes me as a character.
Yeah.
A likable character.
Yep. And he could make it far just because he's well-liked. But I just don't know if... I think he's going to be a physical liability.
Put it that way. I'd say early boot.
Yep. I'd love to see him go far because I think he's going to be really entertaining. But I agree, he's an early boot. And if he isn't an early boot, he's a number.
There you go.
I don't get to use the soundboard for him.
Damn it.
For me, he was the hardest person to say whether they were a snake, a rat, or a goat.
You're going to have to come up with a sound for number.
I'll figure something out. Sure. Next up on the no-collar tribe is someone I really, really like. I think she's going to be super entertaining. If you like the snarky Corinne...
Then I think you've got to be talking about Jen Brown.
I am talking about Jen Brown, age 22.
I like her a lot, too.
Yep. She's going to be sort of a Corinne...
Courtney Yates,
I think, possibly with a little more game savvy than them.
She seemed in her interviews, I saw her video on the site, like she does seem to know the game.
I think she does. And I think she's going to give great confessional. She is going to go just far enough to be really good for the show, but probably not win.
Now, can I ask a question? She says on the CBS site, Survivor contestant, you're most like Malcolm. He's just like me in guy form. Or maybe Kate.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate.
She had a strong personality. Who's Kate?
There's a lot of debate about Kate, who this Kate is.
There's
I doubt she's talking about Katie, Tina Wesson's daughter.
Okay, but no, because she says, or maybe Kate, as she had a strong personality. And
right.
Katie Wesson may, or Katie, whatever her last name, Gallagher, I think.
Yeah.
No, Gallagher's from Palau, may have a strong personality, but not
so
on Survivor. Maybe Katie Gallagher.
Katie Gallagher is the sort of, yeah, that's sort of the consensus amongst people who have read this, that that it's Katie Gallagher. So
that's going way back.
Way back. I think she's a fan. I think she's a real fan.
If she means Katie Gallagher, then she's a fan.
Definitely.
Although I don't know many fans of Katie Gallagher, but we may have found one.
Yeah, right? I unfortunately don't remember Katie Gallagher very well.
She was snarky, so I could see the connection, but she was a goat. She was an absolute goat. She was somebody who would never win because she was alienated people. She was one of those people who would be like, I don't care if you're not going to vote for me. I don't like you and I'm going to be mean to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So she had no chance.
There you go. So in my opinion, Jen is either going to be a rat or a goat. What do you think?
Man, I don't know. I mean, she was really fun to watch on her video. Really funny and had a great personality. I mean, Courtney Yates, what was she?
She was a goat until the final tribal where she actually
did
kind of well.
And then she did great. She did really well in the final tribal.
So maybe she was a rat. I don't know. This is tough to pin down. I hope she's a
rat,
but she might be a, we'll see.
I hope she's a snake, but I doubt it.
She's not going to be a snake.
She seems fun.
Definitely going to be good. I think she's going to be good TV. Who do we got left here? We got
there's
one more person. We save the best for last.
Is she the best for last?
No, I don't know. It's Haley Ford. She's 25. She's a law student, but she's the kind of law student who is going to be a lawyer that can't make money. She wants to be like an ACLU lawyer.
Well, admirable.
I And some people say, oh, well, she's going to be a lawyer. Why is she on the no-collar tribe? Well, because she's going to be an ACLU lawyer.
And because they just needed.
Yeah. And because, that's the real reason, right?
Occupationist law student. So I think they're counting. Well, she's a student, so she doesn't have a job.
Right, right. For the record, I have nothing against the ACLU. That's just a way to describe the fact that she's...
I didn't think you did, but what you're saying is that it's not the most lucrative path for
exactly,
a lawyer.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't need to get into my politics here.
You can get into mine. I approve of the ACLU. So stop listening if you hate me for that.
So Haley seems really smart. I think she might be pretty good at the game. She comes across in her sort of interviews as being kind of like a dumb, maybe someone that might be in Russell's Dumbass Girls Alliance. But I think she's smarter than she looks. I mean, she's in law school, for crying out loud.
That's good.
Although, what are her grades? I need to see that.
Get the transcript.
Yeah. Or I can't get behind her as a winner.
I mean, she lists Parvati as the one she's most like.
Yeah,
she says because she's fun and vivacious, but there's more than meets the eye, always planning, calculating risks, both strategic and social.
Yeah.
So at least she's aware of the need to calculate risks, both strategic and social.
Right. I think she could go either way for me. She could be a number or she could be a snake. I don't think she's going to be a rat or a goat, though. I think she's probably going to be well-liked.
She seems like a number to me, and I'm basing that on very little information.
Yeah. I hope she's a snake, but she's probably just a number. And I don't know why I chose her to be last, because that's sort of an anticlimactic ending, but...
That's okay.
It's time.
That's the beauty of... You know, I will say that is the beauty of Survivor. Sometimes it does end in an anticlimax, and that
absolutely.
Is one of the things I didn't mention before... that I loved about Survivor early on when I first got into it was the unpredictability of it. That's why I really don't like seasons where I can predict what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I love the seasons where I can't predict. And as a TV fan lifelong, one of the things I loved about Survivor early on was that, you know, when you're watching a typical show, let's say Law and Order, the cop is in danger, you know they're not going to die.
Right.
But on Survivor, the most lovable character could die.
Yep. Probably they will. Killed. They probably
and
will.
Probably too. Will. And somebody who you would never expect could emerge as the winner. And it's no fun when it's an anticlimax, but it keeps it interesting and it keeps me guessing so that I don't always know who's going to win.
Right. All right.
I loved the last two seasons. I loved that I could not predict the winner.
Yeah. That was exciting. I hope for the same this season, which I think we're going to get.
So if it is being Haley, said, to bring it full circle, if it's Haley, it'll be a wonderful anticlimax.
Yeah, right. Who knows? She could be great as a character. We'll find out. But now, speaking of winners, it's time for us to pick our winners. Geez.
I can't do this.
I have one. I've been thinking about this a lot.
You've been thinking. Okay.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
Let's hear if it influences me.
At first, I really wanted to go with Tyler. Because it seemed like he had the tools to be an under-the-radar male, which we haven't seen before and I think could do really well at the game. It's how I would want to play. But they don't really cast under-the-radar males. So my ultimate choice...
Hey, don't forget Jonas.
Good point. My ultimate point... Oh, yeah. Who was the guy from Fiji that wore the hat? Rocky was always giving him a hard time.
Anthony.
Anthony was kind of an under-the-radar male.
Yes.
My... final pick for who's going to win the season is Joe. I really think Joe has what it takes to win.
Joe.
And I get a JT-esque vibe from him.
Interesting.
I think people are going to like him. He's going to be well-liked. And that, for me, is the biggest thing that can get you to the end.
And that is your favorite season. The one that JT won. My prediction... I reserve the right to revise my prediction.
Of course.
First episode. So I'm narrowing it down to So, Sierra, and that's it. But my sentimental favorites are Max and Jen.
Yep.
Those are the ones
I really like. Shireen
do really well.
I really like Shireen too. I hope she does well.
I like her too.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking maybe Sierra or so based on our conversation today. So let's tune in to the show and see just how wrong we are.
And whoever is right, do we want to make a bet?
Well, okay. If one of us is right.
If one of us is right, which is pretty slim. You know what? We'll come up with a good bet to do and we'll debut it on our next episode.
That's a good idea. And we'll also have to come up with some rules as to how often you can revise your choice or a deadline for when you have to lock in. What was that?
I don't know about that.
Sandra.
Yeah, I got a few of those up my sleeve. We'll find good uses nice. For them later.
We should decide on a deadline, like you have to lock in your prediction by what episode.
Oh, I wanted to lock it in now. I think I'm going to make you pick Sierra or so.
Sierra.
Okay. She'd be my second choice, so I'm definitely on the same page as you with her.
Okay. Well, I am almost convinced, you know, I'm convinced I'm wrong. So,
we'll find out.
We'll find out.
That's the catchphrase of the day. We'll find out. Thanks for listening. If you got this far.
If you even began it, thank you.
I'm on the same page. If you began it and you finished it, even bigger thanks. And look for more. We're going to try to do every episode.
Oh, you can look for us where? On Twitter or something?
Yeah. I'm at Ryan Elder Music on Twitter.
I'm at Scott Chernoff.
All right. Good show. Thanks, Scott. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay.